We're coming to you a little late today, but this is Paul, and they were having such a great time on Claudio's Speakeasy that it took us a while to get in here and get set up. But you are now listening to Touchstones, and we are continuing with part three with Ray Estes, who is a Baha'i, and we are going to talk a little bit about generally what Baha'is are. And then Ray is going to be giving a version of prophecy, and particularly a way to understand current socio-political events, with which is a unique view. It isn't necessarily a Baha'i view. We'll, I guess if we're going to blame anybody for it, we'll blame the Bible and Ray's interpretation of the Bible through his studies of Baha'i's teachings. So you think that's fair, Ray?
I think that's a good assessment of the situation, yes.
Okay. So on that note, why don't you tell people who haven't been listening, what is Baha'i? And you know, it's a religion, but tell people what it is and
okay,
whatever.
Well, I think I can do that in this sense, that Baha'is are basically Christians, Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, and various other names of people who believe in God and believe that we are, shall we say, created in the image of God, and that we are to be like God. And we believe that God sends manifestations or prophets or messiahs, whichever way different groups identify, the coming of teachers who come to us and tell us in each day and age in which we live the relevant truth about love, mercy, compassion, the caring of truth. Mm-hmm. And we believe that in every age God has sent a messenger to various parts of the world.
Right.
And that we are now in a day that about 160 years ago, in fact in 1844, in fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Mm-hmm. I'll do a quick one on this one.
Okay.
In Daniel, he prophesied that the Messiah would be given, there would be 7 weeks until the Messiah would be cut off. And he said this would take place 7 weeks from the command to build the temple mm-hmm. that had been destroyed. Now,
right.
It turned out that it's approximately 30 to 33 years after A.D.,
right.
or the year that Christ is assumed to have been crucified,
right.
that the 7 weeks would be fulfilled.
Right.
So this prophecy has some very strong support,
right.
because then Daniel comes back and says a second prophecy,
mm-hmm.
that in 2,300 years,
right.
things would really come to a head, and fundamentally everything would change. And we believe that takes place then, 2,300 years and that is 1844.
That was the Bob.
And that's when the John the Baptist of our age stood up and said, nothing will ever be the same.
Right.
And the next day, the invention of the telegraph took place.
Right.
What hath God wrought was the first electronic message.
Right.
The internet is its descendant.
Yes.
And he prophesied that a teacher would come who would show us the way to peace and justice.
Mm-hmm.
And 19 years later, a young man declared he was, in fact, the glory of the Lord. He was the light from God that would guide mankind through the new age or the new millennium that we've entered.
Right. And some people may not be used to this language. We're using, or Ray is using to a degree, biblical prophecies as in the prophets. And historical books in the Old Testament, and to some degree the New, and also using things. But he's interpreting things in a symbolical fashion.
That's right.
And we have to understand that symbols are multivalent. They have many meanings. A symbol does not reduce to a sign that has only one meaning.
Exactly.
But it has many meanings. So some of the things we're going to be saying today are symbolically appropriate for our times, and people who are used to reading and interpreting the signs of the time in this symbolical way to show that Scripture is always being fulfilled. It's always, Revelation is always coming to the fore, is this style of reading the Bible is understood in some churches, and some of you may have left churches that were like that. But I think that the thing about it is that Ray's perspective is interesting because of the way his reading of the Bible has been reinformed or changed by his reading of Baha'u'llah's revelations. And why don't you say a little bit about who Baha'u'llah was and who Baha'u'llah said he was, and a little bit about his writings, which are going to inform our biblical readings that we're going to do.
Well, first of all, let me just lay a little groundwork. We know about the concept of the return because Jesus gave us a clue. He said that people have eyes, but they can't always see.
Right.
But that there are those who can see because, and I would suggest, they use their hearts instead of so much their head.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he explained that when John the Baptist came, that people were waiting for Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
But he said John the Baptist was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Elijah in that he had the same spirit and power of Elijah. Now, taking that into our times,
right,
we are waiting for the return of a magnificent figure, depending on which religion you belong to. All religions have a hope of a great figure.
You mean it ain't Obama?
No.
Well, I'm sorry, folks, but
I'll let that one go by.
Okay.
But the idea is that we think we can see something that we need to pay attention to, and that is that previous generations, when a Messiah would come, they were expecting somebody in the sky with armies of angels and, you know, all that goes with it. And instead,
right,
they got a carpenter riding a donkey,
yeah,
into the city of Jerusalem. It,
yeah,
was not what they were expecting. They wanted something, quote unquote, more glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this day and age.
But in the sense of my sword is sharper than your sword.
Yeah.
And it can be welded with a heavier hand. Yeah.
Well, in this case, the sword is the sword of truth that comes, mm-hmm, from the tongue,
mm-hmm,
and Jesus indeed swung a mighty sword, but not a physical sword.
Mm-hmm.
We take the same idea for the return of Christ,
mm-hmm,
and in fact, you know, in the book of Revelation says he shall have a new name that no one knows but he himself.
Right.
Now, we believe that it's actually been prophesied, that name, just as in the Old Testament it prophesied his name would be Emmanuel.
Right.
But his name was Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Well, how do we get Jesus out of Emmanuel? You have to go back and take a look at the meaning of Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Right.
And in that case, if you believe in Christ, you believe that God is with us.
Right.
The point of it is you have to think. You can't just take things literally.
Right.
Now,